Moncrief on News Talk.
James Murdoch is the second oldest son to Rupert Murdoch. He spent 20 years inside the family business and was at one point tipped to take over from Rupert. But not anymore. Last weekend, he gave an astonishing interview to The Atlantic magazine in which our succession-type view of the Murdochs seems to be largely correct. McKay Coppins was the writer who conducted that interview. Good afternoon, McKay. Hello, McKay. Oh my God, the Murdoch-owned phone lines have been hacked already. Okay, McKay, are you there now?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. We thought something. there was some dark shenanigans were going on. In before you sat down with James Murdoch, like did his people contact you? Were they looking for, a medium with which to express his discontents?
No, actually, I think a lot of people assumed that, but I actually approached him and it was almost on kind of a lark. This was back early last year when I first approached him. And I just had this kind of sense that he would have an interesting story to tell if he was ready to tell it. As it turned out, he was more ready than I realized. It was actually not just one interview. It was over a dozen interviews over the course of 2024 and early 2025, in which he kind of detailed everything he had seen inside the family business, his experiences inside his family, his deteriorating relationship with his father, Rupert. And it really comes down to this kind of battle that's happening inside the Murdoch family now over who will control the empire when Rupert dies. He's 93 years old. It's always been understood that control of the family businesses would be split four ways equally among his oldest children. But in this final season of Rupert's life, he's tried to amend the family trust to give control just to his oldest son, Lachlan, because he believes James and his sisters are too liberal and would not do right by these companies. And so James, I think, since feeling betrayed by his father, finally decided to open up.
Now, on that point, was there ever a possibility that either of the daughters might take over from Rupert?
I actually asked James about this, and he said no. He told me that his father is, quote, a misogynist, and that he doesn't believe that his daughters are capable of making decisions on their own, that they're too easily manipulated. And that even though Elizabeth in particular has built quite a successful career for herself in Hollywood, she has developed, very successful films and TV shows. Rupert never really saw her as a serious contender. It was always really between the two sons.
Okay, so in that competitive space between Lachlan and James, did Rupert Murdoch, did he let them off to see who would compete the best for his favor, or was, did you get the sense that perhaps he was controlling it a little bit anyway?
Yeah, this is an interesting revelation that came out in these interviews, and it actually came from James's wife, Catherine, who they've been married for a long time. She's been part of the Murdoch family for a long time. And her theory, her belief is that Rupert always favored Lachlan, his oldest son, who is more kind of consciously emulative of Rupert. He often seems like a mini Rupert in many ways, whereas James has always been a bit of a rebel and a black sheep in the family. And that what Catherine told me is that Rupert essentially pitted his two sons against each other, but that it was always a rigged competition, that essentially he wanted Lachlan to win. So he would set James up in various situations to fail so that his choice of Lachlan as his successor would be validated, which I have to say, when she told me that, it sounded a little conspiratorial to me. But the more reporting I did and the more time I spent, not just talking to them, but various people who worked inside these companies and who know the family, it actually doesn't seem that implausible to me.
Is there any division between the familial relationships and the business relationships?
It's a good question. I asked a version of that question to James at one point. He was telling me about a family counseling retreat in 2010 that took place in Australia, where Rupert summoned his adult children to his ranch in Cavan Station and basically said, we're going to figure out how to get along with each other. I asked James, so was this more about business issues or more about personal issues? And what James said to me was that in this family, there's no difference, which I think captures the general dynamics in this family. The business is shaped entirely by interpersonal dynamics, grievances, anger and pain and all this stuff in the family. And the family has now been divided by the business. They really are kind of inextricably linked.
Mm. And that particular session, kind of family counseling session, sounded almost comic that I read about it. And it sounded like something that would happen in succession because the poor counselor seemed overwhelmed by what everybody was up to.
In fact, it did. There is an episode in the first season of Succession where the Roy family is kind of summoned for family counseling. It turns out, I think that was modeled after something that really happened with the Murdochs. And it was, I mean, look, James and Catherine both kind of recalled this retreat as being a ridiculous affair, right? Rupert ostensibly wanted to, clear the air and figure out a way for everyone to work together at that point. They were all three of the siblings were all to varying degrees involved in the family business. In reality, what Catherine told me is the shrink was outmatched. Everybody had their own kind of manipulative story they were telling, their own agenda that they were running. There was gaslighting and posturing and recriminations. And what's interesting is that now, after all the litigation that they're in now and all of the discovery that's come out that includes, texts and emails that has surfaced from inside the Murdoch family, James now believes that the purpose of that retreat was for Rupert and his siblings to kind of gain control of him. James was at that point on a pretty successful run at News Corp, News International. He was climbing the ladder faster than Rupert wanted. And he seemed to think that the best way to rein him in was to kind of stage this intervention and call it a family counseling retreat.
The differences between the family members, are they mostly ideological?
James would actually reject that characterization. It is true that James and his sisters are more moderate to liberal in their politics than Rupert and Lachlan are. But James says the biggest difference is actually has more to do with the governance of the companies. James, as you mentioned at the top, spent 20 years as an executive at News Corp, News International, and Fox. And what he saw inside these companies alarmed him. He believes that the culture of these companies is, reckless. It often disregards lawyers and human resources. It can be very toxic, as is the case in places like Fox News. And he believes his father's enabled that culture because he kind of sees himself as this swashbuckling, pirate character. And that's how he wants his companies to be run. James believes that recklessness has led to mismanagement and that the companies need to be instilled with modern kind of management values. And so that's at least to James is the key difference between his approach to the companies and his father and brother's approach. And I will say, I don't know the extent to which Rupert would agree with that characterization, but it does seem clear from my reporting that Rupert has always resented James's preoccupation with respectability and his desire to make these companies respectable. Rupert kind of takes a certain arch delight in his villainous reputation. And I think that that's one of another kind of key difference between James and his father.
Yeah, though, when you're running a media company, it intersects with the values of that society and the political process of that society. So I suppose what I mean is that Rupert and Lachlan, to a certain extent, are they? They're not of any view in the sense that it's not like they're pro-Nazi, but they're not going to criticize a Nazi march if there's a few bucks in it.
Well, this was one of the things that James kind of came to realize, and we talked a lot about this, was that he had always believed his father, though he had this reputation as this kind of puckish mischief maker, kind of anti-establishment figure, that beneath all of that stuff, the kind of naughty tabloid coverage and, you know, Fox News stuff, that Rupert had a core set of values. And they might have been slightly different from James's, but he believed he was a free marketeer and a, you know, a liberal internationalist. He believed in immigration. And what James came to believe is that actually Rupert doesn't have much of an ideology at all. That at the core of his media empire is a quest for profit and power, and that's kind of all there is. And that was really, I think, disillusioning to James. He said he came to this realization, you mentioned it, early in the Trump era when you had, for example, the neo-Nazi march in Charlottesville, Virginia, Trump's ban on travel from certain Muslim-majority countries. There were all these moments where James thought that they should stand up as a family and oppose these things. And instead, what he saw was that Rupert was very willing to kind of go along with them or at least stay quiet about them because he knew that his audience, Fox News, which is the profit center of his companies, didn't want any kind of pushback. And for James, the realization that there is no ideology, there is no true worldview powering all of this, was kind of the beginning of the end of his career at these companies.
Yeah. At the same time, though, he was there for 20 years. Is there a touch of we're born again liberals now?
That's a fair question. And you know, I try to kind of probe his motives in talking to me and in telling this story. I think there is a certain amount of kind of reputation management going on here. I note this in the piece. There were times in my conversations with him and his wife that they seemed preoccupied with kind of trying to present themselves as enlightened, you know, socially conscious liberal billionaires, right? But I also think that, you know, I give him a little bit of grace here because he is a guy who was born into this family, has lived his entire life in his father's shadow. And I think it takes some time to kind of disentangle the sort of mythological view of your father and his empire that you were instilled with at a very young age from the reality that he saw. And it took him a long time to figure it out. And there were moments inside the company where he did try to push back. But I think that, you know, when you're born into a dynastic family like this, it takes some distance from the empire to be able to see things more clearly.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Extraordinary, nonetheless. McKay, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was McKay Coppins there, who is a staff writer with The Atlantic. And one of our listeners knows exactly how James Murdoch feels. My father passed on his paper round to his other son from his second marriage. I got nothing.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Transport your taste buds to the tropics with My Mochi Mango Ice Cream. My Mochi Mango is cool, creamy scoops of mango-flavored ice cream wrapped in sweet, soft dough. It's made with premium ingredients like real fruit, so it's totally mangalicious. My Mochi Mango is gluten-free and only 70 calories per piece, so it tastes like an indulgent treat, but you can enjoy it guilt-free. Look for My Mochi Mango and all your favorite My Mochi ice cream flavors at Target, or visit MyMochi.com to find a store near you.